Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones.
Welcome, dear one, to the Emily Alexina podcast. I'm Emily, and I'm interested in finding and nourishing our highest human potential. I believe humans have much more beauty and goodness to share with each other and with nature, much more than we have expressed in recent centuries, although we have seen glimpses of it. I'm excited about our future. On this podcast, you will hear mine and other stories on themes like motherhood, birth, holistic healing, spiritual healing, education, and farming. Support my work by rating, reviewing, and sharing this podcast. Also consider making a financial donation via the link in the show notes. I'm currently saving for new microphones. Music is by Kate Sutherland.
Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.
Hello, everyone. Happy solstice. Today is December 22nd. We had a beautiful solstice celebration yesterday with a group of friends. And today I have a special guest on the podcast who has come to share a story with you. Hi, guest.
Hi, my name is Leia.
Leia is my eldest child, and she is happy to come on to help me read the story today. Are you ready, Leia?
Yes.
You heard the story yesterday. You liked it?
Yes. You guys will like it too.
Oh, thanks. This is the first edition of this story, the first draft, but I felt like I wanted to share it in time for solstice for all the children who could enjoy it now. So maybe next year it will have changed a little bit. We'll see. Okay, Leia, you want to jump in?
Yes.
You know, I think we need a better title for this story. Maybe we can ask our friends who are listening to send us a title to the story. They can send an email to the email address below. What do you think, Leia?
Yo.
Yo. Do you have a good idea maybe for a title? The one I had was Four Girls and a Solstice Adventure.
I think that's a pretty good one.
Okay, thanks. Well, we'll see what our friends say. Maybe we'll get some good ideas. Let's get started. Get yourselves cozy. Maybe cuddled up to someone warm and a warm cup of tea.
And maybe a plushie or like a big stuffy with some hot chocolate.
That's what you would want?
Yes.
Here, there's a blanket right here. Why don't we get ourselves nice and comfy too? I love getting comfy for a good story. Don't hesitate to pause if you need to get more comfortable. Four Girls and a Solstice Adventure. In the serene village of Winterhaven lived four young girls, Melody, Phoebe, Charlie, and Ariel. They were all very different from one another, but their differences only made their friendship more fun and interesting. They were a great team. Winterhaven was set on the edge of an immense forest, in the middle of which stood a tall mountain. The forest was said to be haunted. None who entered ever returned. There were rumors of dragons and fairies, but most of the adults kept the secrets to themselves, and most of the stories had been lost through the generations. Only some families still chose to pass them on. Our story begins the day after solstice. The four girls had decided to meet at the east end of their village to watch the sunrise. It was cold and dark. The stars sparkled in the sky. The girls waited and waited and waited and waited. But the sun did not rise.
Melody said, "This seems like an awful long time to be waiting. Did we arrive too early? Where is the sun?" Ariel says, I'm sure it will show up soon. I have a joke while we're waiting. Why did the sun feel so dizzy?
Phoebe asks, why?
Because he was light-headed.
Light-headed, said Charlie. That's a pretty good one, Ariel. I think you can do better. How were your solstice celebrations, all of you guys, with your family yesterday?
Melody says, not great. The adults have been acting weird. Have you noticed? It's like they've keeping something from us. I have planned to make these amazing gifts for my family, but I spent too much time researching and planning that I didn't have enough time to make them. In the end, I can really overthink things sometimes. Ariel says, I have a similar problem. I had great gift ideas, but then my friends Sarah and Joni showed up and I forgot all about making them. I can get easily distracted.
Phoebe says, We were at my auntie's house, and I wanted to bake a delicious cake for everyone. But I'm really not used to her kitchen. I like the way our kitchen is at home, cozy and with everything in its place. I got overwhelmed and ate all the cookies. And then we didn't have cake or cookies for the special meal. Charlie adds, oh, wow, guys, that sounds rough. I had planned these fun games to play with my cousins, but no one wanted to play them after dinner like I wanted to. I got really mad and said some mean things. Phoebe adds, wow, guys, sounds like the worst of us came out during solstice with our families. I know you girls aren't like that, at least most of the time. Thanks, Phoebe, replies Charlie. I wonder if and how I could change. The sun still hasn't risen. Something is wrong. We should go see the old woman. She teaches us of meditation, contemplation, and how to navigate the unseen world. I think she knows what's up. On their way there, Ariel told her friends about a strange dream she had had in the night. It was a dream about a dragon in a cave holding a ball of fire. She felt so much sadness for him because he seemed in despair. As it turns out, the other girls had had the exact same dream. Arriving at the old woman's house, they inquired about the missing son. The old woman revealed that some of the adults were aware of its absence. It had been days, actually, since it had risen. Only they had lit the lampposts in the streets a bit brighter, and the overcast skies reflected the light, covering the secret. When the girls shared about their dragon dream, the old woman disclosed her own experiences with dragon dreams since she was a child. But it was a phenomenon hushed up in adulthood by all of the adults in Winterhaven due to the disappearances of people into the North Mountain. Despite the village's unspoken agreement of secrecy, the old woman had been meditating, and she had been hearing a recurring prophecy for months now. She shared it with the girls. In the heart of winter's breath, where the frosty winds blow, seek a tale of ancient sorrow, hidden inside a mountain neath moonlight's glow. Find the creature of midnight hue. Its eyes reflect the grief of stars, tales of a world it once knew. It has scales, but is not a fish. It has a tail, but is not a mouse. It has wings, but is not a bird. and it blows fire but is not a volcano. In the mountain's shadow where the north wind sings, a creature waits with stolen light, a grievous heart that clings.
Whoa, that's intense, Melody says. Is this a good time for a joke? Says Ariel.
Not really, Ariel, said Charlie.
It's oak. I would like want it to drag on, says Ariel.
You wouldn't want it to drag on? Drag in. I see what you did there, laughed Phoebe. Let's get serious. There's something important that we have to solve, said Charlie. The mountain and a creature, and stolen light. So we have to go to the mountain in the middle of the forest? The girls were aware of the failed attempts by knights to conquer the legendary dragon in the mountain. Those people never returned home in the stories. But the girls had a feeling that a different approach was needed. Despite their fear, the girls decided to embark on a journey into the dark forest. The dragon's magic had created a spell over the forest. It was a spell that forced people to face their shadows. When the girls entered the forest, they were immediately separated by an unknown force, and they were each brought to a challenge to overcome. The girls always brought out the best in each other and found strength in their friendship. And this is why the spell separated them to make them face the challenges alone. Melody was brought to a labyrinth. As she entered the labyrinth, she felt inspired to pass the test and meet up with her friends on the other side. She could feel Charlie's bravery, Phoebe's calm, and Ariel's optimism. As she advanced, she tried to remember all her steps using her sharp mind. Unfortunately, she miscalculated a turn, forgot where she was going, and became lost. She began to go in circles in the labyrinth, coming up against dead ends repeatedly. She was afraid and spinning in her head. Then, whoosh, something flew overhead and landed on a wall in front of her.
Melody, you must remain calm. And remember, you can sense of intuition. It is strong as your mind. You can talk? I don't think I can. I feel all loopy in my head and frozen in my body. I don't want to go on. It's hopeless. Look into my eyes. Breathe. Feel your heartbeat slowing down. Feel your feet on the earth. Trust yourself and slow your thinking. You will find a way.
Melody did as the owl said and began to move forward step by step, listening to her intuition and slowing her mind. She learned to use both of them together and eventually made her way out of the labyrinth. Meanwhile, Phoebe had been brought to the edge of a river. It was roaring rapids, and she knew she needed to get to the other side. She really didn't like cold water or getting wet. She could feel Melody's wits, Charlie's bravery, and Ariel's optimism, and tried to use these qualities to encourage her to get to the other side. But an overwhelming feeling of dread overtook her. I just don't want to do this. I don't want to get wet. It's too cold, she thought. She sat down on the riverbed and decided she would have a nap. Her body felt heavy. She felt tired.
and uncomfortable. Maybe her friends could save the sunlight without her. Just then, she noticed a bear in the middle of the river, a polar bear. Wow, she thought, what is he doing here? Then he spoke.
Phoebe, sometimes we have to do things that aren't comfortable. You have so much strength in you, more than you know. Going through this river will be worth it. You love your friends, and you want to help them. Don't forget that.
You're right, but the water is so cold.
Focus on your breath and don't panic. Ground your feet in the earth and pull up some energy. You can do more uncomfortable things than you think. And I promise to give you a warm bear hug when you make it to the other side.
The incentive of a warm bear hug was the last piece of encouragement Phoebe needed to at least try. She took some deep breaths and felt the earth beneath her feet. She pulled up some extra energy as the old woman had taught her and walked into the river. She found that it wasn't as deep as she had expected, and not as cold too if she didn't think about it too much. She made her way across, and when she got to the other side, the bear was there waiting for her. He was magically dry and warm. She buried into his belly, into the fur, and was warm and dry in an instant. This truly was an enchanted place. Meanwhile, Ariel had been brought to an enchanted foggy field. She felt a strong fairy presence and was delighted at the prospect of finally meeting one. She entered the fog and began to follow streams of sparkling light. Here, there were so many. They were so beautiful. But they were pulling her in so many different directions. She felt excited, her heart beating quickly. She was dizzy in her head and light on her feet. She could go on like this for years, it seemed. And she began to forget why she was there in the first place. Then a cottontail bunny appeared to her.
Oh, you're so cute, she said. What do you hear a bunny joke?
Want to hear a bunny joke?
What do you get when you cross a bunny and a frog?
Ariel, you must focus. You are beautifully lighthearted, but you have forgotten why you are here. Focus on my tail and forget the fairy lights. There will be other opportunities to help them. Stand tall, reach for the stars with your head, and feel their light give you clarity. Slow your breathing and follow me.
It was hard for Ariel to stay focused. She felt she was missing out on all the fairy fun. But she loved her friends dearly and vaguely remembered something about the sun going missing. She slowed her breathing and straightened her posture and was able to follow the bunny out of the fog.
Thank you, Bunny.
You're welcome, Ariel. I am with you, here to help. And also, the answer is ribbit. What do you get when you cross a bunny and a frog? You get a ribbit.
Yes!
Finally, Charlie had been brought to a wall of flames. She loved fire and challenges. Ha! This will be easy, she thought. She thought of her friends. She would be the first to complete her challenge. She tried many different ways to get to the other side of the firewall. She tried to go around, but it seemed to go on forever. She tried to climb up a tree so that she could jump over it, but the flames seemed to touch the sky. She tried to throw a wet log into it to create an opening, but it would only disappear in a hiss. She was not one to give up and kept coming up with different ideas. She was a hard worker,
but frustration and anger were building within. She could feel the electric heat of the frustration growing in her body. She was tempted to kick a tree to release some of the anger. Then a fox appeared to her.
Charlie, you're wasting your time. You need to listen.
A talking fox? Cool. Hey, can you fetch me a pail of water?
You need to listen.
Listen? Listen to whom?
Listen to me first, and then also to a deeper part of you. Take a deep breath. Feel your feet in the earth, and reach your head towards the stars. Be still and listen.
Charlie was tempted to brush the fox off, but she was getting worried about her friends. She figured she might as well try what this fox was telling her. She got quiet. She took a deep breath, felt her feet in the earth and her back straighten. A coolness washed over her, and the anger dissipated. She heard one word. Dig. Dig? Dig. Of course, dig. She found a large flat rock and began to dig. She asked the fox if it could help, and it joined in. Foxes are master diggers after all. Together, they dug a tunnel to the other side of the firewall. The girls were then magically brought back together at the base of the mountain, energized and transformed by their experiences. They could see a cave in the mountainside from which a soft glow was emanating. They used their individual skills and worked as a team to climb the mountain and reach the cave. Phoebe shared snacks with the girls, delicious Christmas cookies she had prepared for them for the sunrise. Melody planned out the route using a combination of intellect and intuition. Charlie led the way and guided them from her position. Ariel was light on her feet and cheered the group on with songs and jokes. It was a dark night, but the girls' hearts glowed. Upon reaching the cave, they saw a colossal creature, a dragon, midnight black, as big as a house and shining like water under a starlit sky. It was holding a ball of light so bright they could barely look at it. The girls could see the dragon was in pain. It was not immune to heat and the energy of the sun. Its hands and belly had open sores, burns, and blisters. The girls looked into the dragon's eyes and saw centuries of sorrow. Why have you come to my lair, young ones?
We felt a shadow open upon our village, and in our dreams we saw your pain. Our sun has disappeared, and we need it for our life, says Melody.
We're here to help, adds Phoebe. We're not like the others. We see your pain. We believe in understanding, in finding solutions that go beyond conflict.
Conflict has surrounded me for centuries, said the dragon. Men and women have sought to conquer, not to comprehend. I am tired and angry. It has been burning me up inside. I had to do something.
We're not here to conquer, said Charlie. We're here to understand and help. Why did you take our sunlight?
With empathy? What happened to you, my mighty dragon?
Says Ariel with empathy.
Says Ariel with empathy.
The dragon begins telling his story.
I was taken from my home on a distant planet. Centuries ago, away from my mother. I can sense now that my planet no longer exists. It was a beautiful place of harmony between dragons and people. There was much love and peace on my planet. It feels very heavy and dark here. I cannot handle the greed, thirst for power, and violence. I am heartbroken and homesick. It hurts in my chest. For centuries now, men have been seeking to conquer me and use me to gain power over others. I needed to do something drastic for my pain. I took the sun because I no longer see light in this world.
We've faced our own shadows and found strength in our understanding, our gifts. We see light in the world. Maybe we can help you to see it too, says Melody with thoughtfully.
Phoebe says, taking responsibility for ourselves and our actions is a path to healing. We can understand your anger and frustration. It must have been so hard to fight all those other people. But hurting others is not a good response, and you're really hurting yourself. I think we can help you, but you will need to decide that you want to change. Your words echo sincerity, young ones. I don't want to feel this way anymore. Can something truly dispel the darkness in my heart? Charlie replies, darkness only prevails where there's no light of understanding, no light of hope, and no light of love. I too sometimes feel anger and frustration burn through my body, and I want to hurt others so that they can feel my pain too. I most often use mean words, but you know, it usually doesn't help the situation. It just ends up feeling worse for longer.
Let us help you rediscover the warmth you lost. Together, we can bring light to you, heart, and our village. If you feel dark inside, stealing our sun isn't going to help. It will hurt all the beings on the planet, and it could even be then end of life on this planet. Then you will have lost not only your planet, but ours too.
I see light and hear love in your words, dear girls. I'm feeling a spark in my heart. But I have felt this way for so long. I don't know if I can change, if there can be healing.
Let's start healing your wounds. Could you put the sun off to the side for a minute so that we can take a look? You could take it back later if you want. We wouldn't dare come in the way of your power. There, now let's see. Those are significant burns, wounds. I have my plantain and calendula, salva. Can I put these on your wounds? Yes.
Thank you for your care. A tear of gratitude rolled down his face.
I have some rose flower essence that helped to mend a broken heart. Can I drop some into your tongue? Says Ariel.
Yes, thank you. And I will send some cooling energy throughout your body to help move some of the anger and frustration, says Phoebe. This will only be temporary. You will have to watch your thoughts and actions to not let it build up again. The dragon allowed the girls to work on him. They could see change happening as he let out sighs of relief. and he eventually had a river of tears move through him.
That's beautiful, Dragon. Maimon says tears are healers. Let it flow out. We see your pain. You do not need to hold on to it anymore.
The dragon had a huge cry. The girls watched in silence and felt their hearts swell with love and admiration.
I don't think I have any tears left anymore, said the dragon, but I still feel anger tingling inside my body. There's so much energy.
Sometimes when I feel angry, says Charlie, I like to move. I do my karate sequence or yoga, and it helps to move the energy through my body. Another way is to yell out to the stars. They seem to be able to hear it all and don't get upset like my friends or my little brother or my mom and dad. And so Charlie led the dragon through a series of karate movements and through a yoga flow. Then the dragon went to the edge of his lair and let out a full-bellied, growl-screech-moan-type sound. The girls had never heard something like that before. He then took off into the sky. He looked to be dancing among the stars. It was so beautiful and graceful. Then something magical happened. As he was dancing, streaks of light began to be created in the skies. They were of all the colors, blues, greens, purples, and pinks. It was the most beautiful thing the girls had ever seen. Then the dragon came down to them. He was glowing. His eyes had a new sparkle.
I feel so much lighter in my body and whole in my heart. I never thought I could feel this way again, not without going home to my planet. But what am I to do now?
You have incredible power and much wisdom, said Charlie. Much wisdom to share after the journey you have come through. What if we were to create a sanctuary around this mountain and protect you from those who would want to use you?
Says Charlie. That's a great idea, Charlie. That way the dragon has a safe home. And I wonder about creating a school nearby so that we can teach people, especially children, about you. If people understand you better and learn directly from you, there will be less people who would want to harm you and abuse you, says Melody.
I like that idea very much. I would have a purpose and a way to serve on this planet. This would fill my heart.
And I absolutely loved your light show. Maybe you could travel in the world at night and keep creating such a beautiful cosmic art. I think it could inspire humans to keep creating beautiful things that bring good to the world.
Yes, this too would bring me much joy.
So, Dragon, there's one more question. What do you want to do about the sun? Asked Phoebe.
I'm ready to let it go. Holding on to it is like burning and hurting myself with my own anger. I will never be happy this way. Thank you for helping me see this. It will rise tomorrow morning. I think I need to rest now. I'm feeling like I want to be alone.
Of course you do. We understand. We'll get back to the village and tell them the good news. Have a good rest, Dragon. We will be back soon with updates about our projects.
The girls left the dragon for his rest and returned to their village. They did not encounter any obstacles on their way home. They told everyone about their journey. The adults remembered the dreams of the dragons they had had themselves as children. All the people had known about his plight on a deeper level
but had chosen not to listen and not to believe. The people decided to start helping the dragon right away. Using the power of their collective minds, they gathered in meditation and created a protective, energetic border around the mountain. It was a good start. No one with bad intentions would be able to enter and come near the dragon again. The sun rose the next morning, making the snow glisten and lifting the people's spirits. The people held a big feast and celebrated the girls, the dragon, the sun, and all of creation.
The end.
Thank you for listening, everyone. How did you like that story, Leia?
Loved it. If you guys loved it, just tell us.
Send us a message. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part, Leia?
I don't know. It's very hard to choose.
You like all the parts?
Well, I do like the adventures, like when they had to overcome their shadows, and I liked when they were with the dragon.
You like the scene
with
the dragon.
And I liked how they helped the dragon, and how the people understand that helping is better than not.
Beautiful. Thanks, Leia. Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts. And if you have a better title for the story, also let us know. You can connect with us at the information or contact info in the show notes. Thank you, everyone, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays and happy solstice. Bye.
Follow the walk of the wild ones. Into the woods and the darkness, rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness, rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Follow the walk of the wild ones into the woods and the darkness. Rebirth the ways of the ancient ones whose tracks were washed away in blood. It falls to us now to open up and taste beyond what we've been fed. Take up the phoenix fire of cleansing, change to light the path instead. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times. Step by step through the unknown, I'll be your light and you'll be mine. In darkness, let love light the way to feed the soil of changing times.